right there, everybody. Welcome to episode number 9 of The Hidden Window. Hope you're all having a good week. Bob down there in the bunker. Hope things are going good for you. So we've all heard the phrase, boy, that really grabs my goat. What we're going to talk about today in the lighthearted news segment is taking that to a whole new level. So we're going to take you to a small Italian island off the coast of Sicily in Alluce, Italy. They're having a problem there, folks, with goats. The goats, real small island, really mountainous, 100 people. Couple goats came on there, no problem, everyone's happy. Well, the goats got out. Now they're overtaking the island. There's over 600 of them. And the mayor there, Ricardo Guglio, says, that's it. Something has to be done. They're going in people's homes or eating their garden. So they came up with a unique idea of what they're going to do. What else are you going to do? They're going to have a goat giveaway. So if you want a goat, and it's a very simple process, there is no limitation. Nope. If you want to get a goat, you mention them. It's open till April 10th of this year. So you have some time. Don't know how you'll contact them. Sure, you can look it up. But the population is being overrun by these goats, and they're on steep cliffs. They don't know what to do about it. So the goat giveaway is on right now. Again, no limitation. You want one goat, you want five, you want 10, have at it. They're yours. Someone was thinking, well, how many of these goats out of the mountains? It's really steep and rocky. I'm thinking a Pied Piper. Some people are thinking maybe a helicopter flying in there. But the Adopt-A-Goat is on the way. If you want a goat, now's your time to grab them. So, Goats Are Us, Italian, beautiful there this time of year in Italy and Sicily. How about making a trip and help these goats out, folks? Have at it.
There was a turtle by the name of Bert, and Bert the turtle was very alert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do. He ducked and covered. Ducked and covered.
All right. Thank you there, Bert. So today, folks, I think I mentioned on a previous show, I am fascinated by all things Antarctica. There's just something about that continent. It's weird, okay? It's flat out weird. Too many things happen down there that make you scratch your head. Remember a couple years ago, John Kerry went down there like one day after the election, which is odd, and he was joined by a Russian patriarch. I think his name was Kirill, Bishop Kirill. Very odd. A lot of odd things happen in Antarctica. So let's do a deeper dive into the high strangeness that is Antarctica. We're going to focus on something very specific, something that is documented, something that occurred. And once we talk about the facts, we're going to have to move into the little area of speculation, but also built upon some facts as well. So today we're going to talk about Operation High Jump. Now, there were a lot of expeditions down in Antarctica, mostly scientific. Everything there happens for scientific reasons, with one notable exception. That being Operation High Jump. This occurred between December of 1946 to March 1947. This was a massive military operation, and it was that. This was a military operation. It was comprised of 4,700 men, 33 aircraft, 13 ships, including the USS Philippine Sea, which was an aircraft carrier, the USS Senate, which was a submarine. This was pulled together really, really fast, which is odd. When I'm reading, Truman, president at the time, wanted this operation. He didn't want to see go off, but the military really pushed for it. So much so that one of the icebreakers was just newly commissioned, and it was still doing sea trials. So this was still working out the nuts and bolts. You don't put a ship in operational status when it's under sea trials unless there's something really urgent going on. So really odd. Why did Operation High Jump happen? Well, that's what I'm going to get into. It did occur. It happened. The question is, why? And that is really a head scratcher. So to understand why, we have to go back and peel away the layers of the onion. So the Germans, as all countries do, wanted to have a footing in Antarctica. Now, Antarctica is a continent that nobody owns. No one owns Antarctica. It's a lot of countries have bases there. They have staked their claim, but nobody owns it. Well, the Germans wanted their foot in the game. So right before the break of World War II, they formed a base, which they called New Swabenland, which was previously known as Queen Maudland. So the Germans started a base operation down in Antarctica. This is around 1937, before the outbreak of World War II. Nothing, I mean nothing, that the Germans did before that time didn't have a war footing. Everything they did was a war purpose. It was a purpose. They knew the war was coming. Everything had a military component. So did this base. This was a base of operations primarily for their submarines. Okay? They wanted to set up base operations down there. And there was a lot of activity. During the Second War in the South Atlantic, which is, of course, the ocean that is adjacent to Antarctica, a lot of U-boat activity in the area. As a matter of fact, between 1942 and 1944, 16 U-boats were sunk in this region. One of them was U-859. Now, they were sent on a secret mission. Some of the crew members survived. I think it was sunk by a British cruiser. And some of the members survived. When they were put on board, they were interrogated what they were doing. They were delivering 30 tons of liquid mercury to Antarctica, to their base. A really strange thing to go on a secret clandestine mission. Why would you send liquid mercury down? Well, liquid mercury is used for aerospace propulsion. We use it in some of our rockets today. The Germans were a very advanced country. They were working on all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, the U-2 rocket used this liquid mercury, which they called Zerum 525. Now, that was in some of the rockets. They also had the first jet propulsion known to a military. So the Germans were working on a lot of things, just a lot of things. One of the things they were working on was something called the Flying Bell. Now, the Flying Bell, there were a few pictures taken. Mostly it's still somewhat in speculation, but it's pretty well documented that they were working on this. And that is where this liquid mercury was probably used. Now, the Flying Bell, for lack of better words, would have been today described as a UFO. It was an anti-gravitation machine, and they were working on it, and they were breaking through. Now, they couldn't work it on Germany too much because with all the Allied bombings, they wanted, A, to be safe from the bombings, and B, they want us out of prying eyes. So what a better place to do it than Antarctica. So they moved it to their base, which had a name. It was Base 211. That is the base down there in New Schwabenland. So people believed, with some great expediency, that it was moved out of Germany, this Flying Bell, and moved down to Antarctica. Some of the best scientific minds that Germany had worked on this. One of them was Wernher von Braun. Those of you who know Wernher von Braun, he is what they call the founder of NASA. So that's something for you, Bob, and your boys in a bunker there to talk about. He was brought over. So one day he's playing for the enemy, and then Operation Paperclip happened. And then Wernher von Braun, one of their top scientists, came over to us. He became an American and worked at NASA. So isn't that kind of quaint? So a lot of this was happening. There's a lot of captured evidence after the war that this Flying Bell went down to Antarctica. And it was there. I mean, their base of operation was there for sure. They were doing U-boat activity. Again, some of that's in dispute, but there's too many facts to back it up that the Germans did have an operational base in Antarctica. Now, the British definitely had a base of operations in Antarctica, which they called Mordheim. Now, Mordheim was about, 200-300 miles from the German base. Very small clandestine operation, about maybe anywhere between 6 to 15 soldiers. But it went on. It went on for years. In the year 1946, this is, of course, after the war had ended, the British had a secret operation to go after the German base. This was something that was, it happened, and it failed. Now, which is important to know is that this was after the war had officially ended. So this was 1946. Then you move the clock forward to Operation High Jump. As I told you, that wrapped up in 1947, which is really odd. So you have the British, they had an operation in Antarctica, which failed. Not much is written about it. There is some stories about it, but it did fail. So the Americans took their shot at it. And don't forget, 1947, after the war, you know, the Cold War is going on. So it's a very, very tense environment with the Soviets. We had to take a large part of our military assets to what? Run down to Antarctica to see if the planes could fly in the cold weather? No, that's no way. They're not going to risk all that expenditure just to see how cold it was down there. This was a military operation. They picked up where the British failed. And again, they failed at taking out these, what was regiments of the German Nazi army that was down to Antarctica. So we went down there with Operation High Jump, and it was run by Admiral Byrd. Admiral Byrd was a commando. Admiral Byrd, some of you know, is very famous explorer. He did a lot of work in the North Pole, did a tremendous amount of activity in the South Pole. He flew over the South Pole, documented a lot of attributes of the South Pole, so there was no one better to do this than Admiral Byrd. So here you go, this large operation, Operation High Jump, was sent down to Antarctica. This was supposed to be a 6 to 8 month program. It did not happen that way. It wrapped up in weeks. So why did it end so soon? After this operation happened, some of the base of operations moved out to Chile. So they were in Chile, and the newspaper there, the Elmer Kuhn, was reporting and quoting Admiral Byrd at the time, saying that it had to end soon rather than later, abruptly, due to the fact that it had many, many casualties, a lot more than expected. And this next quote from Admiral Byrd is going to really make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. He said that, quoting Admiral Byrd, that there were objects that could travel, fly between pole to pole, that being the North Pole and the South Pole, at incredible speeds. So were the Germans able to take this flying bell, use the liquid mercury, and make some form of flying craft at that time unknown to us that could have done that? My idea is that they were doing something. We knew about it. Our OSS talked about hints of this, which is now the CIA. They were talking about things going on there. So there's definitely something going on in Antarctica. This Operation High Jump did occur. There is no denying that. It happened. Now, when you read it, it looks as though they were in the northwest corner of Antarctica. That is not true. This battle group divided into three parts. One of them broke away to go to New Schwabenland, which, of course, where the German sub-base was proposed to have been. So you add this all up, and it absolutely makes you scratch your head. Something did occur there, there's no doubt. This operation did take place after, you know, Admiral Byrd gave those quotes to the Chile newspaper. He was summoned immediately up to Washington, and I think he had his hand slapped severely. On his memoirs before he died, which wasn't some years later, died around age 68 of heart failure, but he had in his memoirs that he would be taking the secrets of there to his grave. So he kept his mouth shut. Not so much for, you know, Secretary James Forrestal. James Forrestal was a Secretary of State at that time, and he heard reports from Byrd, and he just said, we can't keep the secret. He wanted to press Congress, what's going on? We have to do another invasion down there. We have to take this out. So much so that they committed him to Bethesda Naval Hospital with mental insufficiencies, and he didn't go against his will. Funny, though, he fell out of a 16-story window, which was very, very tiny. So he was suicided, as they called, basically saying, no, you're not going to talk about this. Shut your mouth. He did not, and he was done after that. So there you go, folks. Operation High Jump, Antarctica, it happened. Why? It's weird. Antarctica is just a center of weirdness in the universe, as far as I'm concerned. All right, so let's wrap it up with some random thoughts. I have random thoughts all the time. I didn't know they had a name. They're called intrusive thoughts. I have to look it up. I had no idea. So I'm looking up these intrusive thoughts, which I have, and they pop in my head all the time. I don't know why. Now, for instance, here's one I think of. So if somebody asks you to throw your 2 cents in and then gives you a penny for your thoughts, are you losing money? That's something it's weird. It just pops in my head. A lot of them seem to pop up when I'm in the shower. So I'm washing my hair, and You know, I thought that these conjoined twins, they're in the news again. Abby and Brittany Hensel. They're Minnesota born. I think you've seen pictures of them. Two twins. They share a single body. And one of them, I don't know how to say it, the one on the left, Abby. Well, Abby's in the news. She recently got married. So congratulations to Abby. I think it was reported around March 30th. So really not that long ago. So Abby's getting married or is married. And thinking to myself, you know, I'm not thinking thoughts of marriage and all that stuff, but I'm thinking, you know, Abby and Brittany go out to a store and they're shopping, and Brittany, I'm not saying they're going to do this, but let's say they did. Let's say Brittany just decided, I like that piece of jewelry. I don't have the money. I'm just going to slide my pocket and hope for the best. So what if they arrest Brittany and they charge her with theft? And they say, well, you are charged with theft. You're going to serve, 2 years in prison. What happens to Abby? If one does the crime, does the other one have to do the time? So what if one of them does something, how are they going to handle that? I thought that's just something. It's something like that. Things that pop in my head. So I don't say they're going to do it, but if one does, do they both have to go to jail? Obviously, they both have to go to jail because they're conjoined. So how will they handle that? I don't know. That's a weird one. So, intrusive thoughts, never knew it had a name, but I just call it me being strange. All right, folks, there you go. Some thoughts on Antarctica. And I don't know, it makes me think. Antarctica, it's just there's something going on down there. Something's just not right. Everybody, have a good week. Bob in the bunker. Maybe your boys could check out this one. All right, take it easy.